Now, the rest of the story. Plantation life in the American South was not all bustles, ruffles, and lace. Even in areas bypassed by the war, there were bushwhackers who'd raid by night, stealing anything, including slaves, for resale or for ransom. It was especially bad in the frontier region around southwest Missouri, where Susan and her husband Moses lived. The borders of three regions were within an hour's ride: the slave-owning South, secessionist Arkansas, and free Kansas. Their log cabin was well back from the main road, but one night during the last days of the uncivil war, there was the sound of approaching horses, a guerrilla band. The household, including the servants, fled the house, hid in the fruit cellar, or scattered into the forest. Mary, a slave girl, could not move fast enough with her newborn baby. Both were kidnapped. The slave girl and her baby were kidnapped and taken into Confederate Arkansas. Susan and Moses were devastated. They'd loved Mary, considered her and hers as much family as their own kin. Days later, a man they knew only as Bentley offered to go out in search of the guerrillas and their captives. Perhaps, he said, he could bargain with them. The baby, after all, was only 6 weeks old. Surely the kidnappers would welcome a chance to sell the sickly infant. And sure enough, before morning, Bentley, a big hulking figure dripping with rain, returned with a proposition. The kidnappers had already sold the slave girl, he said, but they were willing to return the baby in exchange for a substantial ransom. "I've got little money left," Moses replied. "I'd gladly give them that, but it's only a few dollars." "Well," Bentley asked, "how about your horse?" It was then that Susan and Moses realized that the man who called himself Bentley was likely one of the kidnappers. Their horse was the last property of value left to Susan and Moses, except for their small cabin and the parcel of land on which it stood. "Do you know for certain that the baby is alive?" "Well, the man called Bentley said that he had seen the baby, and he said it was alive." Then Susan spoke up. "Give him the horse, Moses. If he has any notion at all that we might rescue that baby, give him the horse." And Moses agreed. As Moses walked the animal from its lean-to shelter through the rain toward where Bentley's horse was tethered, he could see that there was a rag-bound bundle tied to Bentley's saddlebag. Susan saw also. Bentley retrieved the bundle. "You had the baby with you all along," Susan cried. She rushed over, took from the grisly man's hands the wet blanket with a tiny body, uttering a feeble cry from inside. Back in the cabin, Susan stripped the puny baby of its ragged, soiled clothing, and later bathed him gently before the fire. "He looks so sickly," Moses said. "He'll be lucky to last past babyhood." But Moses neither then nor ever after mentioned the price that he had paid to ransom the infant, and the otherwise childless white family reared that frail black baby as their own. And one day that slave child grew up to become one of the greatest benefactors of his century. Over his 80 years of life, he endowed posterity with a wealth of more than 300 new agricultural products. You see, the baby adopted the name of the white family which had bought his freedom. The family of Susan and Moses Carver. That's right. The baby whose freedom was bought by trading a horse became the world-renowned scientist George Washington Carver. And now you know the rest of the story.